All right.
1, 2, 3. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Two Substitutes. It's been a while. After some time, we are back. I'm joined by Akshay once again. Akshay, welcome back.
Hi, Varun.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Welcome back to you as well.
Thanks. Yes, it's been a while. A lot of things have gone on.
I can't remember when we did our last recording. Like 2 months ago, maybe?
2 months ago, yes. The last headline we had was UEFA misfire.
Okay.
Because of the Champions League draw. Since then, Premier League table have turned. Premier League tables have turned. See what I did there?
Yeah.
But not for the good for us. Chelsea are not doing too well. Arsenal, recently, maybe the recent match wasn't too well, but maybe there are some signs of improvement. We'll see.
Yeah, in the Premier League at least, I think we are well positioned to fight for top four right now.
Yeah, and I think this will be like a general chat then, no real format.
I think that sounds good to me.
So
we can cover different topics then, maybe title race, top four, relegation battle.
Yes.
And the transfer window.
Yes. Or as what the comedy people call yes and. What? You know the yes and thing?
No.
Improv, basically.
Okay.
So they always have to do like yes and thing. So you cannot stop. Continuing.
Okay. Yeah, let's do an improv then.
Maybe, yeah, let's start with the crazy game that happened with the Spurs, Leicester. It was extraordinary. At first, I was annoyed because it's Spurs. But then, and also because the game seemingly went past extra time. But I saw the highlights and it was okay. It was Leicester's fault that they lost that game, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy thing to... Like a team conceding 2 goals in added time of injury time.
Like they were 2-1 ahead in 94th or 94 minute, and they had 10 seconds left maybe, or maybe less than that for the game to end. And Bergwijn, the substitute, who all of us are thinking, or Spurs fans are saying might be sold, came up with 2 goals. In the end, shambolic defending, at least for the winner that he scored, was a bad pass from Tielemans. I don't know what was happening.
Yeah, with Leicester, it's really hard because we talked about them. They are like up and down during the season. But this was shocking to see them lose that game after being 2-1 up for pretty much 90 minutes plus 4 minutes. So I'm still not over with Spurs winning it, but with Conte, they have that mentality of never say die and keep fighting until the last whistle.
Yeah, that's something different we saw yesterday.
They were able to do that, and under Conte, they have not been defeated in the Premier League, which is incredible. They are now a major force for top four, and I think with the way things are going for them, I think that they might be the best contender for top four.
Yeah. I don't like it. Somehow they also have 4 games in hand from us. I don't know how that happened. Thank you, Premier League. Shambolic performance by them also this season. So I'm just angry, but also, that game was really crazy. So Leicester probably deserved to lose in the game because Spurs played better, but somehow they found themselves like being 2-1 up for most of the game. And then once you are in that position, you should like close the game out.
I was just looking at the points tally. So sorry to cut you off, but
yeah,
if Spurs win their games in hand, then they will be above Chelsea as well, which is
They will be third, like, 2 points behind Liverpool, I think, or something. One point behind Liverpool, maybe.
So it shows like the incredible turn of fortunes they have under Conte, and just not losing games and. Game against Leicester City.
We are not losing games also. We are draw masters. 7
against Watford too, they won in like injury time, like 90 plus 6th. And so two of their wins have come like really deep injury time. And you would say on any other day they would have, or in any other season, they might have lost 4 points.
I don't like that.
Yeah, that's mean for rival fans. I think it's somewhat positive that they are not winning as convincingly as it appears. So maybe there are some cracks that might open up later or in other games.
I mean, so far
remains to be seen.
Yeah, based on how this season has gone, you can see apart from. I mean, I would say for Chelsea, it has been. Some luck has played a lot of a big part in our performances dropping, but it's like with COVID and injuries, this season has looked weird. Apart from Man City, I think other teams have also struggled, although they have managed to get their games cancelled.
Chelsea, but last four games have been pretty much like no wins in their last four and three draws. So
draw getting masters.
Like 3 points in last four games. Which
and we have, I think, conceded goals in like dying moments of the game. Mm-hmm. Against
West Ham, Welbeck scored. As well, I think it was a late goal.
Yeah. Brighton, Welbeck scored.
Yeah. Against Liverpool, I think Chelsea were.
We should have won that. Yeah, I think we were the better team against Liverpool, which showed me that clearly it's. That's why I am a little hesitant to say it's just all. It is. I think that Lukaku incident also took something from our team. Like the morale has been down since then. You could see in the game, Lukaku has not been performing well. Players are hesitant to pass to him. I've seen that.
Yeah, I think some people are calling him a flop already with money that. Chelsea have spent on him, and he certainly probably like just invited that.
Yeah, there was no need for that. I don't know why he did that.
This season, he was scoring goals early on. Then he got injured, and
he played well before this interview came out. Like the two games he played.
Yeah, I think he scored as well after coming back. And
but then after that, nothing has seemed right. Even though I'm happy that Tuchel at least in the media has been dealing with it well, but behind the scene, you could see in that game against Brighton, players looked tired and they were not looking happy. Like there was no joy playing football, which is why you play this game. So yeah, everything looks weird. I hope it can get resolved. Maybe Lukaku. I don't know if Tuchel is under pressure to play him all the time because of his price tag.
I'm not sure, but I think for Chelsea too, I think he's their best option, at least on paper. So that's why like he's getting played even after...
Oh, you mean Lukaku? I thought you were talking about drama. I don't think Lukaku is our best option. It's it looks like the price is causing that.
But I think he's still better than Werner, right? Or we know like he can get goals.
But he's not doing that. That's another issue, right? I think.
His overall play has not been good. Like
his touch has been bad.
Yeah, he's not.
I think Havertz
doing any link up with other players.
Yeah, I mean, obviously none of our attackers are playing well, but Lukaku is one of them also. I think in terms of smoothness of play, at least Havertz plays better than him when he plays as the nine up front. Because he at least moves around a lot and creates options for others. But Lukaku has not been doing that. And so I don't know what it is. In the last game, Thomas, the manager, also took like 80 minutes to bring on 3 substitutions when we were playing horribly.
Yeah, with
So I think even he doesn't know what what's happening. Because he looked lost in the game. Because usually this is, if you're playing bad, this is not the way to, like, so you can see, like, even a top manager like him is human, maybe. So he's feeling the effects.
Yeah, he's, for the first time in his Chelsea career, he has faced this type of situation. Otherwise, up until this point, everything was smooth sailing for him. Like, players seemed to be very happy to play. And they were, I think, after Lukaku's interview, when he said that he's not happy with the tactic, but he'll remain professional and he'll do his best. And players' contracts and injuries and COVID. But still, at the end, what they're showing up on the pitch is not good enough, or it's not close to what they were doing before.
No, so, it's not.
And there's certainly a lot of things for a manager to deal with right now. And upfront issues are a problem.
I think our wingbacks were hiding that problem, because even in last season, our attackers were not playing well. Like, they could not finish. But when Chilwell and Reece James were not injured, because they were so good, they were hiding the fact that our attackers are not scoring. Or maybe they were bringing out the best in our attackers also. But ever since their injury, everything has gone south for us. I think even if our midfielders, the injuries we had to Kovacic, Chalova, we would have survived if those two wingbacks were still with us. But yeah, and the problem is, and another issue is, I don't know why we have not signed any replacement. We have been persisting with Alonso as wingback, which is, I can't think of any worse than that.
The transfer window is open and
only now 9 days left or something.
Yeah.
But we have not signed anyone. Even Liverpool, who had like so many defensive injury problems last season, at least they signed Kabak and those players to just to cover up, right? Yeah. But we have not done anything like that. I don't know why we are just persisting with Alonso. Keep playing him. We know he's so bad. But and then what happens if he gets injured now? Because Chilwell is out for the rest of the season. We need backup.
Yeah.
And what we do is end up calling Kennedy from Brazil, where he was not even playing. So I don't know what's happening.
And Reece James too, I think his absence also plays a lot.
Like, yeah, both the wingbacks.
Like, yeah.
It's like the same with Salah, Robertson and Alexander-Arnold.
Right, but I think Tsimikas has done okay job. I mean, he's not Robertson, but at least...
But still, they didn't have both of them out at one point, right? They, even if Tsimikas, like Alexander-Arnold was still there on the other side. Because I think they both the wingbacks
and
complement each other.
Yeah, and I think it's on and at right back they play James Milner, who is like a utility player.
He can
play in different positions.
From their games, even though they won the last game comfortably, but I think they have been not playing as well when Salah has been absent from the team. So you could see like the effects these big players have. Like, except for City, I think. Chelsea, if we still had no injuries, we would have competed with City in the title race. But unfortunately, apart from our first 11, we don't have a... Even though it appears like it, we don't have a big enough squad of quality players like City has.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, Zane.
Liverpool have the same problem, I think.
With Liverpool, I think the only...
Klopp.
Thing, like, their midfield has good options to rotate that helps him. Yeah. Like, for other teams...
And also,
it's not the case. And for Man City too, I think they can rotate a lot in midfield. And
yeah, Man City have options of all like international quality players, even on the bench. And also, people forget that Klopp has had now 5 or 6 years with this club.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and the title race is now looking like a one-horse race from
Farmers
what it
League. People are calling Premier League now.
Three horse race with Man City clearly being the favorites, and I think they are many 11
8 points,
here,
eight or 10 points,
yeah,
8 points, I think, ahead of Liverpool.
Yeah,
or if Liverpool win their game in hand, then they'll have eight, then they'll be 8 points behind or something.
Yeah, right now they are 11 points ahead,
yeah,
of Liverpool, which is
already now. Yeah, you can't see them. Yeah, they'll have to lose like four games maybe, which is impossible.
Yeah, and with the way Man City is going, they're just winning every game. And
yeah,
and they are like, I think every season Pep is like aiming for one of his records. It's like, can we win more games consecutively? Can we get more points? Can we score more goals than before? And they've already set very, very high standards for other teams to follow. And it's just been impossible for other teams to compete with them now because of the strength and depth they have in their squad. And also with Pep, that he can find solutions. Like this season, we were thinking like maybe if they don't have a striker, it will be a struggle for Pep, but it seems like that's not an issue.
And he has been helped by injuries to other teams. I'll keep saying that. This season has been, yeah. Seriously, I mean, even if they win, I don't think I won't call them worthy winners. Mm-hmm. I know they have the quality to win, obviously, but this season was so weird. I'm already saying was because it's done. The season is done.
I think you are very much disappointed with what Chelsea has been doing recently.
Yeah, but I mean, if you...
It's true that...
if you think it, as a general, I think if Arsenal was in a title winning... Arsenal had a title winning squad, mm-hmm. I think you would have felt the same because... Mm. It is... It's... Yeah, because by November, we were still top of the league.
Yeah.
Or even if we didn't win the title, I think we would have competed with City at least. We would not be 13 points behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now it looks like title challenge is out of Chelsea's reach now. And
this is only January, so...
Yeah.
Like City have won the league now 6 out of 7 years for the last... Or 5 out of 6 years. So...
Yeah, I think... Only times they have not won is maybe Leicester and when Liverpool won it. So only two in last
Leicester,
six,
yeah.
7 years, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It will be very difficult. Even next season, I think it will be difficult for clubs to compete against City. And we'll see like
Newcastle coming to challenge with the money.
They'll first have to survive this season and then...
Talking of Newcastle, they signed Kieran Trippier, which is a good signing for them. Chris Wood from Burnley.
25 million signing.
And today I was reading of news about Diego Carlos from Sevilla.
Yeah,
they are in talks.
I mean,
they have agreed personal terms.
They are targeting... I think they're overspending on players, but they have money and they're at least so far they're targeting.
And they'll have to overspend because no player would want to join them based on the position they are in the table. So they'll have to spend, like give them extra money for now at least until they establish themselves as the top club.
Yeah, I was also reading like Jesse Lingard on loan to Newcastle. And
yeah, but he has not agreed to it, right?
Yeah, he doesn't want to go there.
Yeah. Eden Hazard rumors were coming up for some reason. He denied he doesn't want to.
Yeah. But they are at least like looking at Premier League proven players is what I wanted to mention. That they're not gambling much and going with Kieran Trippier, Chris Wood, who have played in the Premier League. And Trippier was like exceptional in La Liga.
Yeah.
Winning league with Atletico Madrid and... Chris Wood, he wasn't like great in the Premier League, but he has scored
a few
goals in last few seasons. And
they have weakened their relegation contender
right, and
team.
He is signed from Burnley, who are at the bottom in the Premier League. So they are definitely weakening to some extent and getting a target man. So they have Wilson, who is like short and pacey.
Saint Maximin.
To support these pacey players around him. So we'll see.
Will Burnley, Sean Dyche finally get relegated? He has done very good job at Burnley, but yeah, this season is not looking good for them.
Yeah, and Mike say like COVID and injuries.
Again,
not having that big enough squad is also hurting clubs in that position where they don't have big enough squad to put players out and sometimes you can get your games postponed, but we've seen with Leeds where who don't want to postpone their games, they want to play and
That was my next topic. Yeah, that postponement. Nice. I'll not blame the clubs here. We have talked about it before, but there is definitely something weird about it from the Premier League. Yeah. Like there is no set rule. Liverpool had false positives. Arsenal are sending players on loan, and they don't have enough players. So cancel the game.
I mean, you can't really blame clubs. And with Liverpool, I think the thing was...
They found a loophole in the system, basically.
Because they have...
And we are too nice for that. So, yeah.
And it seemed like their request for postponement with Arsenal EFL Cup game was made even before they had these false positive results. Yeah. And which was also another... surprising revelation, but
and Tuchel also waited for a long time not to say anything about it. But you can see managers are getting frustrated also. Even Conte, I heard, was frustrated with North London Derby getting cancelled.
Yeah, so. But for Spurs, they can't really complain because they have also like postponed a lot of their games before. And
I'm saying everything, like everyone except Chelsea has postponed their games in the top half. Why have we played 4 games more than everyone else? What is this?
I think
I mean, even if we had 1 game rest, at least we could have given players some rest, right? Yeah. The only rest they are getting now is 2 days. This, thankfully, 2 days before the Spurs game. No training, nothing. Tuchel said, I'll just send them off for a day off. Work from home. I mean, even if you don't want to, it gives... like fans and players the sense of lack of integrity, like there's a seed that's sown in people's head. I'm not even joking
about your opponents who were supposed to play the game. I'm surprised because Arsenal too for a long time didn't cancel their Premier League game until like Spurs
until
game,
they
but
knew that they could cancel. They found enough documents to work around it and then said, yeah, now we are ready to cancel. No, I'm just saying it's fine. I think at the end of this season, people will talk more about this. Everyone will have... Premier League is just giving people an excuse to...
Yeah, I think
things.
It's like... when you put out these unclear, obscure rules and let clubs to apply... On those grounds, you're just like making your job more difficult.
Now I'm only watching these games like one game, not thinking of the season. I'm just taking that like one game at a time. So I'm unhappy because that game, last game, we didn't play well.
And I think Leeds actually played with all of their young players on the bench.
On the bench,
in the starting lineup. And they lost their games, but... they won against West Ham.
If Leeds were playing for the title and... You think what would have happened? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like they didn't do it even though they knew that they have these COVID injuries and all. But I think their manager, Bielsa, is just too nice or not nice. But he doesn't want to do that or find any loopholes like that when he knows he can put out a team.
He already found a loophole and he suffered once by spying on the training sessions. So he has learned his lessons.
Yeah, so they're not doing it. And I think if they had made this rule that if you can't feel your team or like full team, then just play with your academy players or get in these youngsters in, that would have been okay.
And
but now it's like...
Yeah, but...
It has become like a competition of... I was listening to one of the podcasts. They were saying like, because they want to make this as an entertainment streaming or entertainment viewing
for
people.
Yeah, see, that's money,
like,
right?
They want to have best players available for the big games. They don't want to telecast something where most of the big players are out because of COVID and injuries.
Yeah.
And it's just not... entertaining enough for people to watch, and that if that's an angle, then it's really disappointing that
we knew that before they even put it out. Petr Cech, I think this was just logical. He said, so Brighton and us, like, both have games on Sunday, mm-hmm. but they got more days rest than us. What, there's no logic behind that. Mm-hmm. We played Carabao Cup before that also. So basically, our, yeah, I don't know. But so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if rules were fair and square for everyone, then it would have made sense, like, because everyone had to play. And yeah. that was the case
and
before COVID, right?
And you could be prepared
right?
for it before. The,
before
also.
COVID, there was no postponement option available. And clubs were, even though they had injuries, they were putting out whatever team
this
they
happens
can.
Every, like, everyone complains about the winter schedule, but they play, they go through with it, right? There's not a big complaint. Right? But this, because there's a rule, there's a precedent, like, every winter, Premier League is the only league that has games. So one team will play, will have an extra day rest, but then they'll have that rest covered back the next week.
Yeah.
Because they'll have the next game a day after. But this season has been all over the place. Anyways.
But yeah, they've made the decision and they can't really change it now in the middle of
halfway,
the season, because
yeah.
that will even worsen the situation, because then club will come out and say, like,
when we
postponed, that was not the rule, or you didn't allow us to postpone. But
that will put them in bad light, like, also, because that would make seem like they admitted to
their mistake.
Mistake, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just going to be difficult for some teams. And it's also... at some point, you will have to face fixture congestion. And I hope, like, that's the compensating factor. So, for example, like, if club postpones four of their games, they'll have to play those games.
But they'll not play all four in 1 week, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't play in 1 week, but they'll at least have four more games to play in a normal schedule as compared to a club who has not have to deal with it, basically.
Yeah, so, but also think, like, if... It wouldn't matter, because then, say if a team is not in the Champions League, but
yeah, I mean, that's going to differ from club to club depending on what their situation is. But at least that's something they'll have to deal with later. And one of the sort of like worrying thing with this was, a club can postpone their games and. Now there's a January transfer window. They might be more stronger. So they may just, like, postpone their game just and by saying that they can't field enough players. Bring in, like, 3-4 quality players and then play your... So instead of playing, like, 20 games with your team without new signings, you might play, like, 24 games with your new signings. So that also gives them the advantage, even though they have to deal with fixture congestion. So there are, like... A lot of things that are outside of game to game or like every week perspective. Like, if you put season in context, then that might play a huge role in their final standing where
Chelsea
they stand.
Chelsea and Arsenal
season.
Are doing things differently, though. Instead of signing, you are sending players on loan, and we are signing no one. So it's nice.
I mean, I hope we sign at least a couple of players this window. And
you were talking about, like, one, but that's still looking unlikely, the Vlahovic deal, because
if not him, I think we should still sign
Aubameyang. Sign Aubameyang from his
with players going out on loan. I think it was situational, so like with Ainsley Maitland-Niles, we made him stay at the start of the season and he really wanted to go out, so club didn't stand in his way when Roma came calling, and then we had to loan him basically just for his good. We couldn't have asked him to stay for like few more weeks or until like situation recovers and then go.
Okay.
So I think that was decided even before Arsenal postponing the game that his transfer will go through, just because how desperate he was to go out of the club. And the other loan was
Pablo Mari.
Balogun to...
Mari also went on loan.
Yeah,
what about
Pablo
him?
Mari was not... was not playing much anyway. I don't have
that's
any
nice.
Justification about this. He is moving on, and other was Balogun, who left to Middlesbrough. So, and yeah, that's where we are. And hopefully we can sign a couple of players. Vlahovic would be an excellent signing, but I don't think he is, or at least from rumors that he doesn't want to come to Arsenal. His favorite destination is Juventus, like
yeah,
most people's is in Serie A.
Yeah, the only, I think, yeah, I cannot remember any new signings in the, yeah, except for, apart from Newcastle, who else signed?
Coutinho,
yeah, and he already had an impact against
Manchester United. Coming off from the bench and
assist, phantom assist he got in a goal.
Yeah, playing a hand in two goals and
yeah, United blew away a 2-goal lead. They were 2-0 up and then Aston Villa came back. They are playing well under Gerrard, attacking-wise.
Yeah, I think he seemed to have revitalized that squad. And with Coutinho now, I think it's only going to add to their goals and assists.
They also signed Dinia, who also looked good in that game.
Yeah, both signings are pretty good. And I think that was one of the reasons they brought in Gerrard, to have that
pull,
power and pull to bring in these types of players. I think Coutinho would not have come if Gerrard wasn't their manager. And
I think Gerrard was told about this before he signed for Aston Villa, because that we'll be able to help you with all of this.
Yeah, because they have the money and they're targeting like right types of players who are like in 27, 28 region, have played in the Premier League before.
Coutinho is 30 though, I think.
Really? No, I think he's like 29 or something. Oh, shouldn't be 30. Yeah.
29, yeah, but close to 30 still, I think, June. But yeah, their squad is looking good. What else? What other transfers happened?
So it's Newcastle. See. This.
Transfers.
There are a lot of rumors, and I think things will pick up next week when it's the last week of transfer window.
I don't know why. At least for us, I don't know why we put it so late, man.
Talk of Zakaria to Manchester United, but I don't think it's happening. He seems to be a free agent, but
Dennis.
Yeah, Zakaria, Swiss international.
Yeah.
And Adama Traore rumored to be going to Spurs.
I think that's almost done. They are saying that will be because he probably play as a wing back. So I don't know why. So either Doughty will play as left or Doughty will be sold.
I think he'll be sold because he's not playing anyway. He's not their first option.
He did play. Yeah. He's not the first one. Because I think on the left, they are covered with
Reguilon,
Davies. Yeah. Sessegnon sometimes plays there.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the transfers, at least in Premier League, have been out from other teams.
Mm-hmm.
Man City have sold Ferran Torres.
There are rumors about Alvarez to Manchester City.
The River Plate guy.
Yeah.
I think, they are confident. And then he'll immediately be sent out on loan to the same team. Man City, and they are just continuing their...
Yeah, I think transfer strategy for both Liverpool and Man City have been really good. Like, they haven't had many flops.
Talking of that, another flops that we have had. None of our recent transfers... The only players who have been working for us have been the academy ones.
Attacking-wise, Chelsea made a lot of signings. Under Lampard, Havertz,
so I'll give
Ziyech.
I'll give Werner and Havertz some break, because at least they won us the Champions League. It was Werner's run. But the pass was from Mason Mount to Havertz.
Yeah, that was...
Ziyech hasn't worked. And let's not talk about the...
I think they're all the same. All of their attackers are so interchangeable that they just don't provide anything different. Like, it's just it's the same player but with a different name.
Yes. Like, how I don't understand, though. These people are based on what they were how they were performing before they signed for us. They are world class quality players. Timo Werner was scoring goals. I don't know what happened. I think that brings up
the club vision and managerial turnaround too, because they were not signed by Tuchel, and that also plays a big part with Liverpool. I think Tuchel is a good enough manager
that he can work with this. But you did make me question it. But this has been going on with Chelsea for a while. Maybe if you don't see it, and the manager will not say it, but it is the pressure of just winning every time that you don't feel like developing anything. Like Tuchel, even though he knows that the three at the back formation doesn't work all the time, but he sticks with it, keeps playing Alonso.
Right.
And we are looking very rigid because of that.
Mm-hmm.
The one time we switched to a different formation mid-game, like we went 4-3-3 or 4-2-3 or something, we looked really good. We only tried that once against Brighton, but not much. So I don't know why. Yeah, it could be because of that.
Yeah, because with them, like, they have the continuity and they can actually spot a player or give a better instructions to their scouts about what type of player they're looking for. Because usually clubs like fail with signings, but with these two clubs, it's like they don't fail much and they also elevate players they sign. So it's like
Diogo Jota, take him for example.
Mane, another example. Mane. Van Dijk.
Even like Salah was not best player in the world when he was at Roma.
Right. And with Pep, it's like...
It's Pep.
You know,
Pep Mahrez, is one of the world's best coaches. Sterling, so.
And Cancelo, even like... They're all improving. Rodri was not like, you know, a proven star at the time when he was signed. And
I believe that Tuchel can be that manager if he...
Gets more time.
Yeah, but... Yeah, because Klopp, even Pep in his first two seasons was not as good.
Yeah, was not that good.
Klopp took 4 years to win the Premier League and the Champions League, so...
Right.
But that's the culture thing I was talking about. If maybe Chelsea can get over that hurdle and just give people time.
Yeah, it's really hard because imagine like if Tuchel puts top four in jeopardy, or if that
looks like an impossible task
to achieve, then he will definitely get fired. And
and that makes me think that maybe our financial system is only dependent on us finishing in top four or us sending out players on loan, because we are not sustainable otherwise. That's why we keep doing this time and time again. But then we... Surely, like, bringing players from academy will save you money, right?
And
We have to switch this mentality, I think. Even if we don't finish... Even if we have, like, few seasons like Arsenal had, two or three, like... In finishing in not in top four, like top six, seven, I'll take it. If that means that we can help.
Yeah, I mean, talking about Arsenal, we are at least like having a vision now under Arteta, where we are relying on players who are like 24 or younger for any position that we have signed. And we've also signed six new players, and they are all part of mostly first team. I think only Nuno Tavares, who we signed, doesn't play first team football as regularly, but everyone else just like plays. And not many people give too much credit to Arsenal because of that, like having that many players in your first team squad and integrating them at this point in the season and all having positive contributions is also something that not many people mention. But it's like the direction that we are going in, and it's going to take time. And so far, I'm glad that Arteta has given that, or he has earned that trust from the board.
I think he had that before. Backing. I think that's why. That's one of the reasons he was signed, though. I think in a way, he has been in good standing. He's like a yes man to the board, even though he has. What was that?
Yeah.
Even though he has been playing good football. Yeah, apart from the Carabao Cup game, I think that Liverpool, apart in the first 10 minutes, they were overrun by Arsenal, but yeah, they deserve to win the game.
Yeah, overall. Liverpool were clearly the better side. We were short of our main players, like midfield I talk about, right? Like if we miss like Thomas Partey and Xhaka, we cannot survive against these elite teams. Like, we can play well without them against Serbs or like...
Partey made a quick cameo though. he had a very unfortunate
two. That was a big gamble
couple
by
of days
and
because first he went out of AFCON for Ghana. He came back on a flight, immediately went to Arsenal training ground, then went to play the game, came back onto the pitch, yellow
card,
very
funny because
sent off.
At one point we were saying that Thomas Partey is back and now he'll be available for Burnley game. I was like, okay, nice. Like, we were so afraid of AFCON and Thomas Partey missing for key games, but he has not missed, or he had not missed any game or Premier League action. And he was put on the bench. I was like, okay, that's fine. Maybe like he's just there to fill up the bench or he may not play. But when he was brought on, I was like, what worse can happen here? Maybe he gets injured or something. But then he gets a red card in injury time and we're 2-0 down. It's just unfortunate. And now he'll miss the Burnley game.
But wait, will that card carry on to Premier League also?
Yeah.
Carabao Cup carries on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's yeah.
So it was very funny and I...
He wanted to watch the AFCON Cup from home, man. He wanted to see...
So it was very unfortunate for us because now we'll have to... Like, Xhaka is already suspended for this game. For his red card against... who was it? Against Liverpool, I think, in the first Carabao Cup game. So he has to...
Two Carabao Cups, two red cards.
Yeah. And we had red card the game before that as well in the Premier League against Man City.
That was another one of your midfielder, right?
No, it was Gabriel, centre-back.
Oh, centre-back. Nice, nice. Now only the striker is missing. So Lacazette red card coming up next.
Hopefully not. But with Arteta, I think they have given him that trust and we're slowly building something. There have been like, you know, one step forward, two step backwards. But overall, I think we are going in the right direction at least.
Hope so.
And
so
this season would be very important. Like a top six finish will be really nice. Or any competition to play in Europe would be amazing. And if we can sign quality players, I think we are linked with Vlahovic and Arthur from Juventus on loan. So if we get those types of players to fill in the squad up until the end of this season, then they'll boost our chances to compete for top four. Because right now it is looking like Spurs are definitely head and shoulders above like best of the rest type of group. So you will see.
That's another thing though, you're talking about loans. I think most clubs are preferring loans this time, like except for Man City and the richer clubs because of the pandemic and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why we are not looking for loans, but we were able to send players out on loan because of all that pandemic stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it has changed football in a way.
Like, and also wages are a big part, like players that are coming on loan, like Coutinho, for example, like I don't think Aston Villa would have afforded to sign him.
What are his wages?
So I think he was on 360k or something at Barcelona, and Aston Villa is paying half of his, I think.
Okay.
Or something like that. So with loan, at least like you don't have to pay their full wages. Players who are on the fringes in their main team can get to play until
the end
of the season.
I think Coutinho needed some exit also. He was not happy at Barcelona.
This year being the World Cup year too, I think players do really want to play in the latter stages of this season to get themselves fit for their countries.
Yeah. Strange season. Hopefully, this Omicron, people are saying by April it should die down, but hopefully a new variant doesn't show up.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. I think that was all. You have any other things to talk about?
No, nothing else. Any other transfers in Europe?
Yeah, I don't see even in Europe, except for Barcelona, they signed Ferran Torres, sold Coutinho on loan. Loaned out Coutinho.
Loaned out.
I don't know how they have. Suddenly they have, they found this treasure island of money and they're now...
They're also trying to sell Ousmane Dembele pretty badly. I'm not sure where he'll go.
Yeah, that's another saga is going on. He he in his tweets, like in his statement, said he doesn't want to leave and he has never whatever. But Xavi said that he...
Yeah, he's getting forced out of the club because they cannot afford his wages, it seems.
But they didn't say the afford, he, they made him look like the bad guy. So Barcelona are doing their classic... that club is a mess right now.
Yeah, it's they have lost their say glamour or...
And yeah, they lost against Athletic Bilbao in the
Copa del Rey.
Copa del Rey, and Real Madrid finally, my player Hazard, he came good. I'm so happy for him. He scored the winner for Real Madrid. So that was good. I think Ferran Torres did score for Barcelona, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he did, and yeah, it was interesting to see Pep talking about him leaving to Barcelona after just 1 year at Man City. He said, if player wants to go, then we are happy to let them go. I wouldn't be in his...
Yeah, I mean, of course, Man City will be happy to let anyone go. They have...
Right, like... Man City. He was doing well for Man City. Like, he played in
he
some
got
games.
Injured,
like,
I think.
He got a hat-trick in one of those games. And, yeah. So...
The Mahrez is back now for them. In a week, he'll start playing.
Mahrez has also been a positive signing for them. Like, he gets unnoticed with everyone else in their team. But whenever he plays for Man City, I think he's pretty...
He gives fantasy
consistent
points.
And, yeah...
Yeah, maybe we can finish on that. So that was another surprise. The current AFCON champions were out of the championship.
Yeah.
Surprising. They, I think one of the teams they lost to was Equatorial New Guinea. I think this was their first competition.
Yeah, I think...
Some also AFCON has... Some weird things are also going on in AFCON, like referee blowing the whistle before the 90th minute.
Funny.
That was funny to watch. Ghana.
With, I think Ghana has
knocked
a
out.
Lot of problems because they didn't play well with Algeria. I think they played well, but they didn't take their chances, or like they were unlucky to not win their games or not qualify for from the group stages, where Ghana were just
bad.
Like, they didn't create much and
got
the results that they deserved. But with Algeria, it's like they were unlucky in some games. Or in
I'm happy
games,
for Ivory Coast, though, because that Didier Drogba's team, and they beat
Algeria. Oh, yeah, they're
Algeria.
Playing really well.
Yeah. They have slowly progressed. Like, their first game wasn't good, I think, but they have progressed to become better in the
next their front
games.
Line or their entire team is pretty solid.
Nicolas
or
Pepe
looks
got
Nicolas
goals.
Pepe is scoring goals. They have Zaha. Sebastian Haller, he chose that nationality. I was surprised by that,
France,
too.
France, right?
Yeah. Over France, and they have front three with Zaha, Pepe, and Sebastian Haller, and I think all of their team or every player in their team is like a known person.
Yeah.
Like KCA. Was good against.
They finished top of the group also, and congrats to Equatorial Guinea also. They finished second. Another one, Egypt was looking bad in the first game, but they qualified.
Yeah, they're playing against Ivory Coast.
Oh, that will
in
be interesting.
Round of 16. That'll
I
be
hope
interesting.
Egypt wins because I don't want Salah to come back to Liverpool. So, I want actually, so out of all these teams, Nigeria have the best kit though. So, I'm supporting them also.
Okay.
So, Ivory Coast and then Nigeria. Nigeria, I think so far they have looked the best team.
Okay.
And maybe Ivory Coast is second. That's that.
Cool.
Nothing much. Anything else to talk about?
No. I wanted to talk about Aubameyang as well. Where
where is he now?
He's back
COVID,
at Arsenal.
But he has COVID.
He had COVID and he didn't play in AFCON because of that. And then COVID results showed that he and two other players had some cardiac issue in their scans. And... They were all sent back to their clubs, and he's back now with Arsenal without featuring at all in AFCON. And we don't know when he'll also feature for Arsenal.
That's a little sad, though, if he had cardiac issues.
Yeah, I mean, club is now trying to make sure that he or they scan for those types of things because they were not aware of it and they had not seen anything suspicious with him previously. So they want to make sure that he's fully fit and available. And even if he's available, he was not playing under Arteta for another disciplinary issues. And so that's... if you don't sign any striker, then I think Arteta will have to bring Aubameyang back.
That will be funny, like if he comes back like Partey and gets red carded immediately in his first game, then the trio of defense, midfield and attack will be completed.
Hopefully not.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. That's all. Akshay, before we go, where can people find us?
People can find us at Two Substitutes on all of the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter,
YouTube,
all podcasting, or wherever you listen your podcasts.
Nice. Find us there. And if you do, then you'll get a special prize. Yep. I don't know. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you have a good weekend. Goodbye.